Hey devs, you're tuning in to the Debug Log Number 6. On today's episode, we get down and dirty with VR, or virtual reality. We first touch on some of our early exposures to VR. Then we dive headfirst and discuss some of the rising stars of virtual and augmented reality. Headsets such as the Oculus Rift, Microsoft's HoloLens, the Gear VR, and others are broken down and discussed in detail in this episode, making it super fun to record. Finally, we conclude the episode with some best practices that we've picked up along the way that are sure to help you out in the future. We're all huge fans of VR, and we hope that after listening to this episode on the State of the VR Union, it inspires you to join the club as well. So, without further ado, this is the Debug Log, Episode 6.
Hello, honey.
Dayman.
You got a baby troll, told us hey, this is a little boy, so...
God dang it, Ryan.
You're listening to the Debug Log, a podcast about Unity game development. My name's Andrew Curry.
I'm Obino Parra.
I'm Zach Schneider.
I'm Ryan Kilgore.
And I'm Eduardo Castillo Fernandez.
And yes, so first off, let me just say thank you to all the people who have written us some glowing reviews on iTunes. We really, really appreciate it. And, you know, the effect that it has on the podcast and our reach and our ability to, you know, give you better and better content is, you know, it's crazy. So thank you for all the people who have written reviews. If you haven't written a review, please just go on iTunes, sign up and write us a review, rate us, let us know, you know, what you think about the podcast, whether it's positive or negative, hopefully positive, but just let us know.
Send us an email if it's negative.
Send us a private email if it's a negative. But otherwise, you know, just write us a review because it helps us immensely with the podcast and with that reach. So we're really excited about, you know, our direction that we're going, the progress that we've made, and, you know, every review helps. So, yeah.
Yeah, and actually, from our stats that we look at in the background, we notice that the vast majority of our listeners come from the website or in our web player. So even if you don't listen in iTunes, you're like, yeah, iTunes sucks, I don't like iTunes, I hate Apple, whatever. iTunes is a big deal for how we get rated and get exposure to more people and like make a better show. So just open it up, find us, and just rate us and review us on there, and then you can delete the program. I don't care.
Yeah,
exactly.
You don't
ground.
Have to keep iTunes.
Just install it for that and then get rid of it. Who cares? Speaking of that, that's related to, because since we've actually last recorded, you know, we did this thing where we've already mentioned previously that we did a bunch of test episodes, and then eventually we started doing actual episodes, but we waited till we had a good handful of episodes. But since the last recording, we've actually been released into the world.
They've launched.
Yay!
Oh, yeah, that was a very weak celebration, but... Yeah.
Guys, come on. We've been released into the world!
Hey! Hey!
Yeah, so we've been blown away by the reaction. We've launched like the first four episodes out on, and we posted in our Facebook page, which we have now. We posted on Twitter page, which we have now, and our newly designed and like kind of configured website. And we've been blown away. We've gotten like hundreds of downloads a day, and that I've had other podcasts that haven't reached those numbers early in the day. So I've been super excited, and I know all the guys have been excited about, like, we've actually getting letters written to us and actually getting comments, and we've been responding to them. So. Thank you.
Yes, thank right. you very much.
Thank
yes.
you. Thank you to all of you,
thank you
for your comments in Facebook, in the Facebook groups, LinkedIn groups. Thank you very much. That encourages us to keep doing the best we can and keep bringing you the best content that we can bring you.
Yeah, absolutely. Where are all the Google Plus
people, because it is so strange. We like share the post and every episode on Google Plus, but it's like getting very, very little reviews.
Yeah, we met last weekend and we kind of divide, since there's five of us, we divided a lot of the social media between us. Like I do a lot of the, we all respond on all of them, so don't worry about reaching out on a particular one, but I'll be the first responder on Twitter, and Eduardo does a lot of stuff on Facebook, and I do too, but and Ryan said it Reddit, but one of the ones that, that Obina tackled was Google Plus. We're like, yeah, it looks great. There's a bunch of members, and he's been falling asleep over there because responding to him.
I'm like, where are
Plus.
All my Google users? That's crazy.
So we're calling you out, Google users. Come on. I always hear this crap about Androids. Come on, prove it. Let's go. Let's get going. So that being said, thank you. That's great. Tonight's show is really exciting, and this is one of the topics that it's a big deal in the world of video games. You could almost say it's the year of this thing, and that is VR, virtual reality. It's been a big thing that's been around for a while, but it's finally come into its heyday recently, and it's for a few different reasons, but we're excited to talk to you about it tonight. We're going to talk to you about VR in the past. We're going to talk to you about why it's such a big deal now. Of course, we're going to talk to you about how you can integrate it into Unity and some of our trials and tribulations doing that, especially Zach.
We'll go into that.
he's gone through everything.
We'll put a post-it on that. We'll come back to that. And then we'll talk about, maybe we'll speculate. Well, first we'll talk about some best practices, then we'll speculate about VR in the to the future. And of course, we have Game of the Week coming up. But first, let's talk about VR of the past. Have you guys had any experience past pre-2012 of VR in your life?
Well,
anybody?
The only time I really had VR in the past was back in, well, this is funny. This is back in 1992, watching my very favorite, my favorite movie back in the day, which was Blank Check. Uh-huh. No. This was Blank Check.
Oh, yeah, I know that movie.
Remember Blank
yeah.
Check and that scene
he
where
named himself Macintosh?
Exactly.
Mr. Macintosh, yeah.
And he has this huge VR headset, and I was like, I remember looking at that, and I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. I can't wait till I can get, you know, my own VR headset and walk around with that, you know, 80-pound headset, you know, in this VR world. So that was my first experience. I never did any development for it or, you know, really had any hands-on experience until I came to this job that we're working at now. That's like my first time I really got intimate with virtual reality.
Nobody had a Game Boy Virtual Boy?
Virtual Boy? No.
That was just the only commercial.
That sounds wrong.
Yeah, it was horrible. I put in our show notes the one VR. I mean, VR always got it became a big deal in the popular culture around that. I guess that Stephen King or Lawnmower Man movie. Mm-hmm. And that was a horrible movie, but it was like, it blew people's minds. Everybody always references that, especially on all these Oculus articles. They're like, it's like Lawnmower Man because it had some 3D graphics. And that was do you remember, Ryan? Was that like the plot of that movie? He just went into VR or something? Or
yeah, it was like his digital. You know what? I'm just going to admit it. I have never seen that movie.
I don't know if I have either, though, actually. So
I was about to BS that one. I was like, I don't think I've ever seen it.
Well, it's about VR. People like it. I don't even remember seeing it. I might have just seen trailers. But anyways.
That time, though, I can tell you a few books. There's like Neuromancer, and then, you know, later on you've got like Snow Crash and Ready Player One. And those
are
really
Ready Player One's a more modern one. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. And they filled people's heads with the imagination of those worlds. So, I've read those, and those were, you know, they really got me started thinking about that stuff.
Yeah, actually, can we pump the brake for a second? Because now that we've launched, I remember reading one of the feedbacks or from one of my friends, and they were saying that we throw around a lot of acronyms and you know words that, you know, they're not quite sure what it means. So if we can step back and just say, answer the question, like, what is VR? What is virtual reality? Someone's coming in, it's like, what is virtual reality? And I'm gonna toss that to Zach because I feel like Zach could answer that, you know, really nicely.
Put me on the spot. Thanks, Obina.
That's what I like to do.
Virtual reality is
reality that's not
that
real.
Is not real.
Let me help you with that, Zach.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just step right in.
Yeah. Virtual reality is a computer-generated artificial environment that allows the player or user to view, explore, and even manipulate the environment with help of different input devices like goggles, headphones, gloves, but the most important component is the goggles, because they are used as the display of the VR application. They have lenses for each eye that in conjunction with the two cameras that the application has, create the illusion of being inside the artificial environment. So that's the...
That's beautiful.
He's got note cards, I bet.
Exactly. That was a textbook answer.
Good job, though. Very good.
Yeah, and that's what it is. It's basically, like you said, it's based on being like a first-person perspective. So it's like you put a goggles on and you look around and that's as if you're there. If you turn your head, that's really the kind of idea of VR is if you turn your head, there's like gyroscopes and stuff, and they go, look down. Yeah, I can look up. Yeah. I can look anywhere I want to. And then various setups and peripheries get into more... like it's complex where he's like, oh, I can walk around on this treadmill and I can walk forward, or I can have these like gloves, these haptic gloves that everybody, that's the big dream. That's from a Ready Player One. But yeah, so it's basically a virtual environment in the first person through goggles on your head.
And Abina, just, you know, like you were saying, for acronyms, another one you might hear us just kind of offhand say is HMD tonight, which is head mounted display. That's used a lot just to quickly talk about the goggles that Eduardo was mentioning.
Yes, good
one. And another one too, that we're gonna mention one later on, just it's also, there's stuff as such as VR, which virtual reality, there's also AR, which is augmented reality, which is, it can be, you can do it in a bunch of different ways. You can have goggles or just hold up your phone, but it's the idea that you see the real world still. You're not shut off from that, but artificial environments and objects are placed in the real world, and they move and they track as you move your head and move perspective. So we'll touch back on that too. So, like I was saying, VR being this big dream, it's in the movies and it's in all these books that Ryan mentioned. One of the first experiences I had with VR was going to Dave and Buster's up here in Atlanta when I was a kid. It's funny enough, I lived, you know, not in Atlanta and Savannah or St. Simons, but this Dave and Buster's I went to is actually right next to my house now, but they had this thing called Dactyl Nightmare, like as in pterodactyl nightmare. And it's this big setup. It was this big ring and a stage, and you pay $15 and you're like, well, you get like 5 minutes in this thing. And you put this heavy, heavy, heavy VR headset on your head. I was probably 10, so this like weighing me down. And it's like attached to cords and all these things. And you put it on your head, and I guess you had like a pistol or something. And the world has about 12 polygons. It's like this weird platform. You guys saw the YouTube video that I sent.
Yeah.
It's like this weird platform, and you're just kind of walk forward, but I don't remember how you could do it. And then all of a sudden you look up and there's a pterodactyl and you try to shoot it with cubes. That's it.
Yeah, it kind of looked like a crossbow or something like that. It's like, here's this highly technological environment you've been put in. Like, here's a crossbow and a pterodactyl.
I mean, it's the simplest thing, but you know this guy spent like years making that demo probably. And it was kind of mind-blowing at the time, but it was also like, eh, who cares? And so that was one of the big things, and that's one of the big problems with VR is that it's been really expensive. And moving into, like Amina said, before we worked where we work now, there, I wasn't aware that there were a lot of commercial headsets. And once we got there, we realized that Sony and what are some of the other manufacturers that
we
make
had the
these
Imagine, HMDs? That was the, how was it called? Imagine, I forgot.
Yeah, it's the Imagine headset.
Yeah.
What you're talking about, the old ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, some of the old ones we used. We used the Sony HMZ, the Imagine, and then there was a couple other ones that we've used in the past.
I think we attempted to make our own as well.
Oh, God. And they weren't even, they're not even stereoscopic, though, right? They're just like two little TV screens.
It's literally like a TV screen with that's split into two. It's not two cameras.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
And even to do the tracking, you have to get separate tracking
exactly,
cubes.
Exactly. Yeah, a lot of them, because, I mean, even the headset alone, the HMD alone was just so expensive. Then the tracker was less expensive. Well, some of them were actually
I believe the tracker was more expensive than the headset.
Yeah, yeah.
And the headset was like $2,000.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, it was impossible to...
So basically that gyro, which is in everybody's smartphone now, that's basically what the tracker is. Mm-hmm. And it was like $1,000 or $2,000 at least. And it's a little cube with a cord hanging out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty either. The advancements they've made, you know, over the last few years is crazy. What they've been able to put in your phone.
Yeah, and I kind of think that's what it was. I mean, that's the real story of VR through the 90s. Is this is weird, or even all through the 2000s, the aughts, first aughts, is that it was this weird territory where, like, we have for advanced research grants and other things, you know, people can afford to buy $5,000 worth of equipment and try it out and experiment with it. But I think these companies were just making a killing. Because like, yeah, it costs this much. Don't worry about it. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, and I don't think the hardware in that costs that much. And I don't understand why it was that much, but I think they were just making that much because there are no competitors. And then I think around 2012, 2011, maybe the Kickstarter started for a little device called the Oculus Rift.
Yes.
And what it promised was a new age of VR, an age of VR where it would be affordable, under $500. And they showed, their first demo was this janky, like, duct tape together thing. But that guy, Palmer Luckey, the founder, he was 21 years old, guys. Come on.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That's impressive. That's very impressive.
Yeah, and I guess they made that he tinkered and he found engineer guys. And he's kind of has an engineering background, too. And they went and they did a smart thing. And they went into these conferences and they got support from the John Carmacks of the world, or the, you know, the Gabe Newells. And Cliff Bleszinski. And they actually are in their Kickstarter video giving endorsements or how cool this thing is.
Yeah, yeah.
And so basically just a real quick overview of what the Oculus Rift promises, that it was a full periphery, right? I don't know how many degrees, but not just a standard in front of your face. It went around to your peripheral vision, and it was also stereoscopic, meaning that there's two different lenses in there that actually obscure the image like your eyes do, so things appear to be 3D. It's not just like, oh, I'm seeing a projector of this in my face. It actually, objects that are 3D appear 3D.
It gives you that depth.
Right. And the big issue with this, or the big innovation, that all was awesome and everybody loved that, but the fact that it was like, the dev kits are like $300.
Oh, they were so cheap.
Right. And so you're like, now we have it. We have the ability to, the other companies like Sony making those things, like, oh my goodness. It's like, well, that era is over. We can't charge $3,000 for a crappy headset now. You know? And so Oculus started this off, and then it started this whole, they kept doing the Kickstarter, and it was massively successful. And we've gotten each version of the dev kits at our jobs, and we've checked them all out, and they're really neat. Have you guys had any like kind of fun experiences with the Oculus?
I remember when Ryan was at the office, he set up the Oculus as a DK2 on his machine. And what was that game you set up? There was the one where we were in the cockpit in space.
Oh, Elite Dangerous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what it was. And he set that up, and you know, we put that on the Oculus, and then, you know, the experience that we had just viewing that was amazing. You're like, oh my god, imagine if this was, you know, some really high quality game, or, you know, some, I mean, not saying Elite Dangerous isn't, but
I was about to say, that's a pretty high quality game.
Yeah. But yeah, it was just a cool experience. And another experience I remember back in the day, I think it was like our first DK kit that we got from Oculus. I think Andrew, you were there when you set up, we had it going, and we went through all the tutorial things.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
And you had us crashing into walls and stuff.
Oh, that was fun, yeah.
I was like throwing up later.
We had this weird thing where we couldn't get the controls to work, but the way it was like, well, somebody control it while I just look at it.
Oh yeah.
Oh wow. That's like one of their top ways of making somebody nauseous. It's like
worst decision ever.
Have we all tried, and can't do a show of hands, but a show of eyes here. Have we all tried a version of the dev kits?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, he said I, so.
I.
I.
Have you done it, Adorno?
No, no.
Well, I got.
Oh, you didn't see that when I.
We have them at work.
Yeah, I brought two of them out. So.
Yeah, we need to do that. We'll do that tomorrow.
No, I tried the Oculus, the Dive.
Well, see, there you go. You did it then.
Oh, the Dive? I thought you said something else. No, the
Oculus,
Dive,
yeah.
And the Samsung Gear VR. And actually, I remember a good experience about, well, it wasn't good. It was awful. About the first time I tried a VR headset, it was the Oculus Rift. And it was in one of the Unity meetups. And it was my first time with a headset. And I tried it. It was like instant headache. Nauseous. I was like, take this thing out. Yeah, after that, I haven't had any problem. So.
Yeah, it really depends. And we'll get into that in the best practices section. But it can really depend. We saw a really great roundtable discussion at Unite last year about
of
the do's and don'ts. But it can, I mean, it's a lot of power in the hands of developers.
Yeah.
My first impression, though, real quick, of trying that Oculus was... The first, the DK1 was, it was pretty low res, mm-hmm. But you put it on and it's like, oh, immediately, like, just my graphics snobbery is like, this is grainy. This doesn't look weird. But then you keep it on for a second, you're like, oh no. It's like, my impression's like, it's like, this is going to be a problem for some people because it's so immersive. It doesn't matter how pretty low rent that first DK1, and even the DK2 improved it, but it's still not. Yeah. You know, we're used to retina displays in our phones, and it's not that. But it's a mix of the stereoscopic thing, but I mean, I just think it's kind of magical how it works because VR, like, I think our brains and our memories really work spatially. Like, we remember being in a place, you know, or how interiors are places. And so when your brain gets tricked into thinking you're just walking through this, whatever that first demo was, Tuscany Villa.
Yeah, Tuscany Villa. Yeah.
And it's so stupid and cheesy, but it's like, and you're just looking at a window frame. You're moving your head, and it's like, that's actually there. And you're just reaching your hand out. You're like, this is... I mean, once you have these killer apps and killer games for this, like, you can see how it's like a Snow Crash or Ready Player One situation. Like, this mm-hmm. is going to be totally immersive. If people get addicted to World of Warcraft or whatever now, mm-hmm. ugh, man.
Yeah, and the visuals are just one aspect of VR. You know, people right. have gone and done, you know, you've added the sounds to it, you've added, you know, the smells to it, you know, using your hands to interact with the environment. People have already done that and are doing that now, even with the Oculus, and just using, like, other peripherals, like, you know, like joysticks and stuff to, you know, manipulate the environment with your hands. But, you know, you can only imagine what's going to happen in a few years when you're actually, you know, fully immersed and you have the smells, you have the sights, you have the sounds, everything, you know, you're really immersed in this environment. It, you know, like you said, it's going to be kind of crazy what could happen. You know, and yeah, I remember even at Unite, the guys were, like, kind of warning you about, like, you know, the things that you can do with a user or player that's in your game because you're immersing them, you know, you can really get them deeply immersed in your game, and you have to be careful with what you do and
don't
what kind
do
of games
harm.
You create. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, and you know what? This is what's really cool is, like you're saying down the road, this is just iteration one of this, and everybody, I am as well, is very enamored with it. Like, this is actually working. It's actually cheap. You talk about, like, especially in computing, like, you go, like, 5 years down the road, how, you know, how much they've already iterated so far and where they could be then. It's just, it's unimaginable what you're going to have on your head.
And that's related, I mean, just the technology being, like, the democratization of that idea is that now, Oculus, like I said, it was developed and the Kickstarter went through, and for a couple of years, it was the lone gunman out there. But just like when the iPhone came out, nothing came out. But now... 2 years after the iPhone, you have all the smartphones coming out. Now we have a bevy of different types of VR headsets. It seems like every company has a VR headsets.
Right, and I think Eduardo mentioned it before, but there's a system called a Dive, which is, I think, co-developed, or Oculus has helped them in some way. Mm-hmm. And it basically turns your iPhone or your Android into a Oculus headset, basically. So it splits your screen in half, and it's got this character controller specially made for Unity. You just drop it in, and then you have your ready-made headset out of your phone. And it uses the phone's gyroscope as your head tracker, so you can sit there and put on like a $25 headset, or you can even 3D print the headset, stick your phone in it, and then you have a headset less than, you know... Well, it depends, because the phones can be like $200 or so, but the headset itself is only like $35.
Yeah,
so.
You mentioned like 3D printing your headset. That reminds me of the Google Cardboard, you know, that cardboard box. You can just toss a phone in.
It's compatible with that as well.
Yeah, don't smoke while using that one.
Yeah, like you said, the Dive. I don't know if the Dive, the Oculus worked with them, but I know they worked with the Samsung to get that Gear VR. But they might be working with a lot of people. It surprised me that they're not just working on their product. They're actually partnering with people to spread just VR.
Yeah.
But some of the big ones, like really at this point, some of the big ones are the Oculus, the Morpheus, which is the PlayStation, Sony ones, for PS4. So that's going to be interesting, you know, going forward. Because, like we said before, the Oculus has been in development for 2 years, but they just recently announced it's like spring 2016. Mm-hmm. They're going to release, and they released their specs of what a minimum computer. What was that, Zach? We looked at that one day. What were the minimum specs? It was like you need a 770 or 780. What do you have in your computer now?
I It's the...
It's a 780. Nah, 770. So you need at least a 770, I think.
Yeah, I have a little higher than that in my... you're talking about my computer at work or my one here?
No, no, your one at your house.
Oh, yeah, no, I have like the 970.
So it's like you need whatever is sort of towards the top end now, not like a Titan, but... Because it's going to be the resolution. It's almost like a 4K display split, which I'm super excited to see.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. And so they have that, but the Morpheus is one. It's got to run in a PS4, and a PS4 is great. I have a PS4, but it doesn't have that power. So it's interesting in what kind of fun, you know, workarounds they use or like interesting game design techniques they do, because they can't actually hit that frame rate. And the other big one real quick is the top three of the Morpheus, the Oculus, and the Vive by HTC. They're partnering with Valve, and they have this weird experience where it's not only a headset, it has two kind of big controller wand things, and then they have some kind of unit where it creates a 10 by 10 space. I think it's 10 by 10 in a room where you can actually just walk around, and it simulates the space.
Yeah, that's that lighthouse technology. Yeah, it's actually scattering the room for, like, looking for the headset, so it can figure out where your head is oriented in the space. It kind of helps with that immersion factor, as well as, you know, where you may be positioned in your environment.
Yeah. And another crazy thing that we mentioned AR earlier, we have kind of skirted over it. Another, I guess, technology that's been, you know, gaining some ground was the Magic Leap. Remember when that, you know, Google invested in Magic Leap?
Oh, yeah, we don't know. They had a talk at the Unite last year about that, and we didn't know what it was.
That's true. We didn't even know.
That rocket shipped for the mind talk, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I heard about it I went to the Atlanta Code Camp, and they had a presentation there where they gave away some motion leaps.
Oh, and it's not a leap. The leap is different. Leap is just a motion controller thing, but there's something called that we barely know about. It's called the Magic Leap.
Yeah, yeah.
And basically their idea is that you don't need a headset and you don't need any kind of hardware. Basically it shoots lasers into your eyeballs.
Yeah, so digital light.
And maybe you do need a headset. Maybe you do need a headset. I don't know. But whatever it is, it's some, what do they call it? Like, it's some like photon field light emitter or something. Mm-hmm. And nobody's seen a demo of this thing. They've done this weird little office demo where you're shooting aliens in your office, and it was all CG, and it's made by Weta Workshop. So it's like, okay, that's cool, but that's not what it is. But all we know is that these big companies have invested in them. They, like, Google saw the technology behind closed door and invested $500 million in
exactly.
them. And you're like, whoa.
Qualcomm invested in them as well. So
That could be the future.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I prefer the Microsoft HoloLens for AR and virtual reality.
Yeah, that's another one. Good point, Eduardo. That HoloLens is one that's it got announced this year too, and it's supposed to come out this year. There's been very vague about that, but
correct me if I'm wrong, but it's supposed to be Unity is supposed to be what they're developing for that.
Yeah, for now, yeah. Right. The big Microsoft Build conference is the journalists that got their hands on with it. I was telling Obina about the story. They had to like leave their phones in a locker or something. They couldn't take pictures or had their phones. But they went, basically they had a little, you know, 2-hour workshop with Unity making a little demo for the HoloLens. So Unity is the primary platform right now. They probably will add Unreal, I'm sure they will, but it's cool to see Unity is Microsoft backing Unity in a big way. And so we're hoping they're going to give us one at Unite, right? I'm still holding. Last year we got at Unite, they gave us an Android, weird Android TV thing. Google sponsored it.
Yeah. Well, I talked to the...
Give us the...
Don't tell him.
Give us the scuttlebutt. What happened?
Come on. The scuttlebutt. No one says that anymore.
Yeah. We're bringing it back.
Hashtag scuttlebutt.
It's the bee's knees, kids.
This Tuesday, I went to the Unity Roadshop here in the Microsoft office in Atlanta. And the Unity evangelist told me that they are not going to have the HoloLens in Unite.
There goes the truth. Drop the bomb.
Yeah.
Are they not going to have any demos at all?
No, he said that they won't have it at all.
Wound me. Break my heart.
Maybe there's a surprise, but you know.
Look under your seats, guys. There's HoloLens. It's not
you get a HoloLens.
Yeah, you get a HoloLens. All right, well, that's the big state of VR right now. That's why it's a big deal. I mean, Oculus started this movement, and basically it was started on a few principles, that it's really cool and better than it's ever been before. But the main component of the success now is that it's cheaper, that it's under $500. It's not thousands and thousands of dollars. It's going to be something that normal people can buy. And so everybody's excited about it. It's building. This is going to be maybe not 2015, like the year VR, because most of them have announced that like usually early 2016, I think all of these headsets are coming out. Mm-hmm. So next year, this time, by next E3, we will live in a world with multiple VR headsets, and we'll see if it holds water. I think it's going to be a big deal. I don't think it's a fad, and people are saying it might fail like 3D TVs. I think it's going to stick around. It's just going to evolve, like Ryan said.
Well, yeah. No, it definitely is going to be a success, because if you think about it, most of the big companies have invested a lot of money in this. So they're not going to lose that money. I mean, Google, Facebook, Microsoft.
Yeah. Facebook bought Oculus. We didn't mention that. So.
Yeah, and also, didn't Microsoft, they're backing Oculus for the Xbox One? Because it's coming with one of their controllers.
So that's the thing that Microsoft did, because the PlayStation had Morpheus. They're like, what's Microsoft going to do for VR? And they're like, one, we're going to release a sweet AR headset called the HoloLens. And then for VR, we're just going to partner with Oculus. So that's fine.
Done.
It's like, finished. We don't need to make one.
So, yeah, and about the HoloLens, before going any further, many of you have seen a VR headset that has very good field of view. Well, that's not the case of the HoloLens. It has beautiful augmented reality effect, but it's just like a little square in front of your face. So it's not like you have this great range of vision.
Hopefully that's just the first iteration blues on that one.
Yeah, that's what I actually was talking with Brent, who works with us at our current office, and he was telling me about this actually just today, about the HoloLens field view and just how it was. You know, they actually released some video, guy did a review on it. It's like just 30 degrees by like 17.5 or something. And it was just this really small field of view or angle of view. Which was disappointing, but I think that, like you said, it's just like a first iteration. Just these two square, I guess, pieces. You know, they have this huge, goggles that you have put on, but you're actually only looking through a small set of squares in your left and right eye. So,
right. Anyway. I think we can all agree. I mean, all games won't be VR. You know, you're still going to have your platformers. You're still going to have your other stuff. Whatever.
Yeah, and all games couldn't be. I mean, there's games that you can't make for VR. Right. Doesn't fit the that kind of gameplay.
There's a place for it. Yeah,
yeah. Exactly.
But actually, because a lot of the space games and a lot of things in vehicles, when you're sitting down and sort of like
best,
in something else. Yeah, those work really, really well. But like you said, a platformer, it's like, what do you really gain from that? You know, do you push your face into the scene and look behind?
Well,
demo. Oculus made a demo of the platformer, didn't they?
I know that Insomniac made a demo for a game they're making, and it's like a third person, like you have a third person view of a person, but you have a Morpheus on. Which is strange. So there was a demo at E3. We didn't see it. We haven't tried it. We know it's hard. That's what's hard about VR demos, is that you can't just watch a YouTube video of it. You're like, I need to try this out.
Exactly. Yeah, I think they had a platformer. Oculus had a 3D platformer at Unite. It was actually really cool at first, because the start menu was looking down at the environment, so you could actually like see all the platforms you're supposed to jump on. But when the game actually started and you're running through, you're in a third-person view, and it's you kind of lose some of that cool factor with the stereoscopic vision.
Yeah. So. And that's what I was saying. It's like with VR, like it's going to be a portion of games, for exploration games, for maybe first-person shooters. Just it's going to be really neat and really.
Yeah.
And the next Skyrims and all that stuff are going to be in that. But AR, I mean, I don't know if whatever the limitations of HoloLens are now and all those other things, I don't think you can argue against that AR is the future of everything for just people's daily lives.
I mean, it's been touted in every movie since every sci-fi or future movie for a while. So
I mean, you won't buy a TV, it'll just be projected up on the wall. They show that that's in the HoloLens demo.
That's true,
so I mean, you just improve the range of vision on that thing, and then you have it. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I've watched a short sometime. on just on Vimeo, and it was like it showed the guy and his apartment is empty, but on projected on his walls are like his achievements and his paintings and stuff, but there's nothing there. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's the future. It's kind of weird. It might
it's
be a little sad.
It's a stark future.
but I know that's gonna happen, man. That's gonna be so popular when that comes out. So anyways, this is a Unity podcast, so we want to talk about these exciting things. Oculus has been such an exciting thing in the Unity community because they've worked hand-in-hand with Unity to make their, you know, the headsets really interface well with Unity, and they have a lot of, you know, libraries and SDKs and a lot of their examples and demos. I mean, Unreal and Unity are their big backers, but so it's been cool as a Unity developer to experiment with that. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to do 800 hours of coding or like kind of configurations things to get it to work. Mm-hmm. So
speak for yourself.
Yeah. And so that's just not Oculus Rift. Like, yeah, like Zach mentioned before, there's a lot of other VR headsets and SDKs, you know, these people that are jumping on the bandwagon. And that's a good thing. It's not like they're copying them. I'm glad. You need more competition, and more competition is good. So, Zach, I'm going to let you talk about some of the experiences you've had integrating VR, various VR's SDKs into Unity.
All right. Well, I think one of the most difficult things I've encountered in incorporating VR into a Unity game is the head tracker. So the head tracker basically moves your cameras your camera to match the movement of your head, and it's not always as intuitive as you think it is. For instance, you can walk straight but look to your right and keep walking straight. Now, if you do that in VR, that can often give you a sense of it just makes you really ill. And I've done this way too many times where I've been sitting at my desk and I've done something really awkward with the controls and I've just made myself sick and I had to go back up and lay down for about 10 minutes.
Go hurl.
Yeah. The bathroom. And that brings me to some of the tips that I have for developing
some
VR
best practices. What are the specific Dive SDK is the main one that you've had experience with?
I've used Oculus a little bit. I've experimented with that. I use Dive, which is what I talked about earlier with your phone, with the mobile. I've also done just a little bit with it was VR. But it wasn't stereoscopic vision, so it was just one camera. And I believe somebody who worked at the company before I did made their own head tracking code. And right. Then we used a third-party head tracker.
Right.
And that was actually the most difficult I've had is when we had to use our own in-house code.
Yeah.
Because it didn't quite conform to everybody else's standards.
Right.
So, go ahead.
And I'm saying that I've had a little bit of experience with Oculus just messing with demos and actually pulling up in Unity and like getting it integrated into just a demo of walking around in a first-person controller. And it's pretty simple. I mean, we'll go into it. We'll put a YouTube clip one day, like tips and scripts video about that, because it's actually pretty painless for the most part. I mean,
absolutely.
There's a lot of it. I mean, you can run into things, but it's all designed to be pretty easy, you know, to get started. But have you guys, any else besides Zach, had any experience?
Yeah, well, I've done like some of them. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I worked with the Dive SDK with a similar project that Zach had, and with the in-house code that Zach mentioned.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I guess I had a similar one, and just like you said, Andrew, setting up like a simple scene, a nav mesh, just having like the little construction guy chase me around. And honestly,
get away from me, construction guy.
That can get scary, guys.
But I mean, the biggest problem I had wasn't necessarily with the Unity integration. Is like maybe getting the device just kind of configured
the
computer.
The basic configuration's a little. Because they assume that you know that you've invented VR and you know what all these settings mean. I'm like, I don't know what this is. It's like
inner pupil distance. What?
I don't know. So it that can be a little weird. And that being said, that's also another big point. I hopefully they saw with Oculus. Oculus, you can't have 80 cords coming out of the device, yes, two different places on your computer.
Because like that's how one, our old system
they still work. They still have that, isn't that external tracking right now, right? It's like and a it's webcam cool,
and
thing.
And it makes it cool because you can like you can shift your head. You don't just tilt your head. You can actually move your body a little bit. And
You have a little bit of lean in there.
Yeah, and that's cool, but it's like you can't have a cord, four cords coming out of that. One to that thing, one to your computer, one to your power bathroom, source, one to wherever else you're doing it. It's like,
exactly.
It's, it's like, oh, that's the mistake I made. I ran into the bathroom, sorry.
I'll tell you what, the future every the time future of VR is wireless.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
That's Sam. Yes. So actually that's Eduardo, did you try the Samsung Gear VR out yesterday? Yes. How was it?
It was awesome. It looks super good. Wireless using the Samsung Galaxy Note.
Yeah, and that's a 2K display, I think. So that's more resolution than any development kit of the Oculus we've had. I've really been anxious to try that. Could you see the pixels?
The pixels in the application?
Yeah, just like a little bit. Was it grainy a little bit like the other?
No, it was perfect.
I want to try this.
One of the things that I remember...
I need to buy an Android phone, guys. Stop me.
Don't do it. One of the things that I remember feeling or experiencing when I used that, the Sony HMZ that we have at our office, and it has like a wireless feature as well. But the problem with that is just the latency that you would get from, you know, just using the wireless and communicating with your application. So there was a lot of, you know, you had tearing, and you also have latency when you're moving your head and tracking and stuff like that. So it's good to hear that, you know, the Samsung Gear VR, you know, has none of that, and it's a smooth, I guess.
Yeah, because I think Unity made some improvement in the to avoid dropping
frames.
So that's why it works so fine.
Well, and the difference too is that it's the computer is on your face and not, and you know, you're not streaming to your face.
Yeah. It's running locally and not just sending the images across the network.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Now talking about that, Unity 5 has a new option that allows you to see the game view as a VR headset. I tried it, but you know, Unity. It has a bug. As soon as you change the shake box and
we
try
love
to play,
we love you.
It explodes. So hopefully it's fixed in the pro version. I have the personal version of Unity. Maybe that's an error in that one, but you know.
Yeah. VR, the computer's in your face. that's my you can take
that's
that
tag.
You can
that's
take that
so
okay,
that's just free. Leave that at their door. Yeah.
So anyway, so that's we've had those experiences with VR and like I said, I think in like most people, we've done a lot of experiments. You know, you can't release commercial products for these things right now. I mean, you can release a game that also has Oculus support, and that's fine. But a lot of the problems we've had with our company now and just other places, just in general, like, I want to make this indie project. But, hey, the only people who are going to play this are the ones that have development kits. They're other game developers.
Exactly.
And so we've been waiting for the release of these things. So I'm sure, you know, into the spring of, you know, 2016, we'll get a lot more experience with these things, and we can report back and put up some tutorials about this stuff, because then, you know, once the masses have and you start getting an install base worth something, you'll get a lot of feedback, and you'll be able to actually test your game out and actually get some actual players playing it. So we'll get to that. But for now, we've actually had some in our limited... No, we've had a lot of experience, but in our experience in a limited set of players, we've had some experiences that we can actually recommend some best practices. Right, Zach?
Yes. And we've already mentioned one of them just very briefly, which is keeping your frame rate high. So if you have a low frame rate, you get that latency when you turn your head, and that absolutely kills the experience. It'll make you nauseous. It just ruins everything.
Reality and, is melting.
Yes. I recently had to develop for it's iPhone 4S, so you know it's relatively old technology.
Gross.
as technology goes, and I think I was capping at about 14 frames per second with VR, and it's so frustrating. I can't even begin to explain how frustrating that is when you're trying to sit there and you're trying to look out a window to your left, and it takes about half a second to look there, and it's only about 15 degrees away.
Right.
I share your pain.
Yes. Yes, Eduardo was doing the same thing I was, and we're just sitting across from each other, pulling our hair out.
And it was even more frustrating when you try the same application in your iPhone 6, and it works beautifully. Anyways.
And so these guys have actually... The point of view being like that Unity probably wasn't the problem with this, and they've actually had it was that they're actually doing it in 4-year-old technology before the Oculus even came out. So the idea is that it's fun to think that it actually can work, and you guys did make it work beautifully for what you were given. So
in the end, I think we got it up to about 24 frames per second, which isn't terrible.
That's what movies are in.
Yeah. I mean, but for instance, was it the Oculus requires, I think, what, 75 hertz for their refresh rate?
Yeah, which is about 33 frames a second. So, like,
yeah, that was so far away from where we could get with that hardware. But one of the other things that I've had to struggle with when I've been working on VR is, for instance, I make applications for psychologists and their studies, and often they have to have the same experience for every single person. So, for instance, if they have to interact with this player over here, they have to be looking at this person in order to interact with them. So they forced me to take control away from the player. And I think that would be the number one thing that you should not do in VR, which is take control of the camera when a player already has control with their head tracker, and to just take control and move the camera without them knowing. So this goes back to our experiences when we were using the doing some of those Oculus Rift demos where somebody else was controlling the car and we were just looking around. That the number of times I made myself nauseous just playing through the application was pretty unsettling.
Yeah, and that's actually that speaks to a bigger issue about if you're making a game for VR, you can't just shoehorn an idea into VR like, oh, I have, you know, Skyrim and it's going to work great in VR. It's like, well, it could, but some of the things might not be made for VR, right? It's like, you can't, I mean, VR represents, like, from having an open world and first person game, that's great and freedom, but putting something in VR, it actually pushes it into like the ultimate freedom where I can look around anywhere, actually, you know, I can control the camera and then I can move independent, you know, if you're playing a first-person shooter, I can shoot somewhere independent of where I'm looking, which is mind-blowing for first-person shooter fans, because, awesome. You know, it's funny if you play first-person shooters, you're like, oh, I can't actually swivel my neck at all. That's not a possibility as this character. I'm Batman, basically. But
you know what? Just a quick point about what you were saying about, like, just, like, shipping an idea into VR. You sort of mentioned something like Skyrim. It's like, you know, you could just put that in there, but it's not going to be as great an experience as if you tune it, because I've like read all sorts of things about how, you know, it makes it a much better immersive experience if you start taking into account of things like, you know, hey, even the person's natural height, the distance between their eyes, you know, how responsive is the headset when it's moving. So if you don't tweak those other variables, you're not going to get that nice, tasty, like, VR experience if you just, like, toss it in there, like, well, it's, you know, Skyrim and VR, have at it. And it's like, yeah, but I'm not a dwarf, you know?
Right. And that it's like it's a big responsibility. When we went and saw that Unite Roundtable, they really talked about it. It's like it's a lot of power you have.
Absolutely.
Like you can make them throw up. You can make them have a heart attack by scaring them. Really, you know, yeah. Because any scary game, you can do a lot of devious stuff to scare people in VR.
And amnesia.
And it's like, no, I'm not. I can't even play that on a 2D screen in the daytime. I'm not going to do that in VR. So it becomes a thing. So you really want to design your game around the strengths and the weaknesses of the platform. You don't want to just put any old game in there. Like we said, we can't put a platform, you can't put Mario, you can't put whatever.
I mean, you can, but you just have to keep the design.
The design is going to change,
And maybe that actually, you know, yeah, try that. Break it and see what happens, then try to figure out how to solve that problem. That'll maybe, develop new genres. That's what's cool about VR is like we're just thinking, yeah, you can just walk around and look around, but maybe these whole new genres of games are going to pop out of that that we don't even know about yet.
Exactly. And I think one of the last things that you should watch out for when using VR is tracker drift, meaning if you're just sitting still and looking forward, your camera, like for instance with the dive headset on iOS, will tend to just drift slightly, about almost a degree a second, to the left or to the right, depending on your processing speed. And that is it's very frustrating. So if you're sitting down in a chair looking forward and you haven't moved your head and your camera is drifting about a degree a second to the right, in about 30 seconds, you're 30 degrees off center. So you have to rotate your body to reorient yourself in the world. And that has also been a tremendous headache for me.
Yeah, one of the things that they could do to fix that is, let's say that you have that bug for 1 week. You don't know how to solve it. You have to find a quick fix. Add like a key for headset to reset the headset, so the tracker, so you can look in the right direction.
Right, it reorients your cameras to a forward direction in the world. I also contacted the dive headset people, and they added a calibration to the tracker.
Oh, you changed the code, Zach.
Yes, they did.
And for you.
Yeah. Well, it does
just
what
just
it...
own it. Just own
just
it.
Take exactly. It. Yeah.
Well, okay.
No.
It does what they say it does as long as the camera is held absolutely still. If it doesn't, then it doesn't quite calibrate. Now, I've been thinking about possibly putting in some kind of... like buffer offset or threshold.
Yeah, a fix for their fix.
Yeah, so a fix for their fix. So basically, if you don't move your head more than a degree, then don't move the camera at all. But this is all handled in their DLL, so I'd have to go and try to get their source code and try to change that stuff. So that's it seems like more of a headache than just put a tracker reset in the environment.
Yeah, and... please be careful with if you try to subtract a certain amount of degrees from your drift, because you have to be mindful that it will vary depending on the device. The drift is not going to be the same in an iPhone 4S or an iPhone 6S.
Absolutely. Or even from program to program. For instance, Eduardo's program drifts a little bit to the right, and mine drifts a little bit to the left because I have heavier graphics in my scene than he does. And so depending on what's being drawn on screen, it could be more or less processing going to the accelerometer. So
yeah, one of the things that makes the drift crazy is if you have a large amount of particle systems. So be careful with the particle system and VR, because you have two cameras, not just one.
Yeah, that's something to think about. That's why the Oculus, the specs are so high, because they want to get that resolution. If they're getting a 4K display split, they basically state it's like, well, it's like running a great game now at max settings twice. You're like, well, that's going to be a problem if you don't. I mean, so you need double the computer that you have now. So they basically said for the Oculus, if the total buy-in cost, they're really cagey with how much it's going to cost, because they still didn't release that price. But they said if you don't have a computer that's powerful enough to buy the computer and the Oculus, you need about $1,500.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, I got that in my pocket right now. That's
lucky.
But I mean, yeah, if you go, I mean, that is pricey, absolutely. But you know, high end gamers will do it out of the box. So you know, down the road that'll get cheaper, I'm sure.
And yeah, and this isn't some. The thing about this, people bitched a lot when Facebook bought them, because like, oh, Facebook, oh, I hate Facebook.
I did. Yeah.
Facebook. Yeah. So they don't like it at all. But the fact that this is the thing, they got a lot of money, right? And they know they're not going to change it from being a gaming thing at first, you know, for the first 4 or 5 years, and it's always still going to be that. But what that means is they can come out with this first version and maybe it doesn't take on. Maybe it is a fad and people reject it, but they're going to have a second version. They're going to have a third version. They're going to be able to iterate and improve and get that price down and get it to more people. And Facebook has so much money, they're going to get to a point, it gets under $200, they can just give it out to people, you know, subsidize or whatever. And you're going to be, it's going to be opened up to a lot of new experiences, not just gaming. You know, you get into the whole 3D video world, you know. If you're streaming Bonnaroo over the weekend, you can just pop on your VR headset and just, hey, I'm in this concert now. Cool. Woo. You know, that's neat.
Yeah. Well, you bring up a good point about Facebook's muscle because, you know, it gave them the ability to get displays for cheaper from Samsung to actually, you know, have a corporate entity that could negotiate with Samsung about, hey, you scratch our back, we'll scratch yours. Right. Give us some cheap displays. We'll make sure your VR headsets can actually perform up the spec. So.
Right. So it's only a good thing. I mean, like Eduardo made that point earlier. There's a lot of money behind all of these things, you know. These companies put a lot of money into it, and they're not going to – it's not going to be like, say this first generation of headsets fails. It's not going to be a
one and done.
The 3D TV fad that people compare this to is not correct because the 3D TV, nobody was asking for those 3D TVs. Yeah. It's like people are asking for this VR. They
have
hungry
been asking for
it.
For a while.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's no Lawnmower Man for 3D TVs or like snow crashes. Yeah. Like, oh, where's my 3D TV?
I saw this cool movie in 3D TV. It's like, I don't know who wanted 3D TVs. It's like, it's crappy. Nobody wanted 3D movies. Nobody cares.
Yeah, they died for a while.
I like 3D movies.
Okay, well,
we went to see Ant-Man. Eduardo was like, we're not seeing the 3D version?
Go see Ant-Man. It's fun.
Yeah, it is good. Sorry.
Another real quick.
Small plug for Ant-Man.
they kind of need it. It performed worse than all the other ones. But, just one real quick side note before we move on in this discussion of VR. One of the things they talked about just as a best practice, those I thought was kind of funny at the talk last year at Unite, they said that the worst thing you can do is actually when you have the two cameras. So, yeah, like Zach said, there's two cameras, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And they said if you actually adjust the height of those two cameras in opposite directions, so like say your left eye goes down and your right eye goes up, it's like an instant vomit comment.
I want to try that now.
It's like, because that would never happen in reality, and they say it's the worst thing you can do.
Your brain just does not know how to process that information.
And you don't recover for hours. That's what they said. So try it out, folks. Debug is not responsible.
Exactly.
Don't go condoning that behavior.
Yeah. Seriously.
Andrew Curry's opinions are not reflective of the debug log in general.
But let
I might try that
happened.
Tomorrow at work.
Yeah. So
you guys film that if he does that.
Yeah, we will. Don't worry.
And that'll be posted on the debug log.
So that's cool. VR. You guys have any more thoughts? Any opinions? It's cool. We love it.
I guess maybe. I was just thinking during the whole discussion, like, you know, we're talking about Oculus and everything they've done for it. Yeah, even if they fell on their face tomorrow, I think they'll be remembered and Palmer Luckey is, you know, the people that really got it, like, rekindled again, the interest in, you know, society.
That's
so.
True.
Yeah, I think he's the one. He'll get the credit.
Yeah.
For igniting.
So even, yeah, even if it, like, their Oculus, for some freak reason, went nowhere, I think, you know, they've done a great service to the technology.
And I don't think they're going to go nowhere. I mean, they really have the best shot at this, because they have, for one, Facebook. I mean, Facebook has more money than Microsoft, I think, and then more than Sony's in trouble, so they have more money than Sony. And they just
have the publicity, man.
But, and they have John Carmack. John Carmack's a genius programmer. Like, he's awesome.
Oh, they've got they got Michael Abrish there
right
now, too.
Yeah, they're being smart about these acquisitions of, like, talent, so they're not just, you know, messing around with this. They ain't messing around.
The gloves are on. They're on.
Your Facebook likes are going to be total VR in 5 years. Trust me. Don't
that
worry about
thumb
it.
Thumb in your eye.
You get nudged in the head. Ow!
Oh, they're poking me.
Poking me. Is that still on Facebook?
I don't think so.
It is. I still get pokes.
Oh my goodness!
I don't even see how you do that. We need to poke our fans.
Yeah, exactly. Follow us.
Yeah. Oh, we've got.
So cool. Yeah, we're excited. VR in the future. We mentioned there's going to be a bunch of cool stuff. So. We'll keep you posted. Like, as we said, as these devices come out and we can get more of a... We have almost every dev kit we can have. We've signed up for the Vive HTC one, and we've signed up for a couple other ones. So as those come out, we'll get them, we'll try them out, and we'll start, you know, maybe doing blog posts, or we'll start doing little quick videos about them and keep you updated. And definitely once all the commercial ones come out, we'll do another show, a roundup of the review of the state of VR in 2016, I think.
For sure.
That'll be Woo-hoo. Fun. So cool. All right. So before we go today, we can't leave without
we
that
cannot.
Special.
Cannot.
No, can't. The people demand it. They love it.
Exactly. They annoy. I love
the
hearing our annoying voices.
Special time of the night.
Game of the week.
Oh, that was
weak.
Come on, man.
I'm the only one doing it. You're not doing it.
Game of the week.
How am I supposed to do it?
Everybody said to do it, Bob.
Ryan, did you just poke me on Facebook?
Yes, I did. It still works, guys.
You guys stop poking under the table while we're doing the show.
Oh, you're right.
That's the only reason I do this show.
Game of the week.
Today's game of the week, it's Star Wars Commander. Star Wars Commander is, you know, once Disney bought Star Wars, which that's another one everybody liked or disliked, but the cool thing is they also, LucasArts went out of business, which is sad, but they spread out the Disney franchise, the Star Wars franchise, into a bunch of different game developers, which probably means they're going to have a billion Star Wars games now. And one of these, they've started a mobile initiative. They had a couple card games, but one of the fun ones they had, which is like, hey, this Clash of Clans is pretty big. You know, this Boom Beach is pretty big. We need to actually get in on that with the biggest franchise of all time. Mm-hmm. And that answer to that is Star Wars Commander. Without further ado, I'm going to let Zach explain this, because we've all played it, and I think we've all played it for 10 minutes apiece, and it's cool and it's fun, but Zach is, as always, our games expert. Go ahead.
Yes. To tell you the truth, when I first started playing this game, I was amazed that it was made in Unity. It actually looks, it's rather simple, yet it looks amazing.
That's a dig on Unity, I think.
What? No, not necessarily. It's just...
Jesus. This is weird.
We've done that twice today already. Yeah, we love Unity.
That's true. not necessarily a dig on Unity, but it looks like a Unreal game. And it...
Ouch, Zach.
Zach, stop.
What is it? Right,
somebody
left,
else
and right again?
Right, left, and right again. Someone else
talking
about this.
Doesn't equal five, Zach. Come on, let's go.
All right.
Try again. Restart. Scratch that. Reverse that. Try again. How does the game play, Zach?
Go from the perspective that you are run a Unity podcast. All right.
Well, I'm done now, so somebody else can explain it.
We only played it for 10 minutes.
We don't know anything about it. Oh, no.
All right, for real. Let's go. All right, so Star Wars Commander, it's like a top-down building game where you build a town.
It's a strategy. RTS kind of game, yeah.
Exactly. So, and you could either be like, you know, I don't want to, you know, broadcast my limited Star Wars knowledge. What is it? It's Rebels, Imperial, and...
you can be either the Empire, or we're going to keep passing this off now. You can be either the Empire or the Rebels, and you can create bases, and you can attack their bases. And it's, you know, you can build your base and you can create resources. It's like a normal RTS, like a Civ game, basically, right? I mean, that's what the basic concept is. It's a huge concept, and you can actually, this is one of the most popular game genres on iPhone or Android right now.
Yeah.
But you combine that with Star Wars, and this is one of the ones we also didn't know that was made in Unity, where you're just like, oh, this is a fun game. Zach played it a bunch. A couple other people at work played it a bunch. I played a little. Alex actually just loves playing around with it because, like, the instructions had Princess Leia, which is her favorite. So she's like, I want to play. But I was like, yeah, this is way too complicated for you, honey. Like, we can't do this. But she's 4 years old. You can't play this game. So she would just press buttons and get attacked and die. So I'm not. She doesn't listen to this. Don't worry, huh? I'm not going to get beat up. Zach, how did you like it? I'm sorry. Go explain some further. How did you like the game?
I actually really enjoyed it. It had a lot of the customization options, a lot of the strategy of building your base. So, for instance, the pattern which you lay out your walls, and where you place your buildings, your materials buildings, and your defenses dictates how much materials when you're attacked can be stolen. So, for instance, if the enemy destroys all of your material vaults or factories, then they get all of your materials, or all the materials that are contained inside of that. Maybe not all, but the amount that they that are possible to win based on their level when they're attacking you. So it had a lot of strategy in it. And not only do you fight other players, but there's also a semi... it does have a storyline to it, but it's not as a storyline as I like it to be, I guess. As involved as I'd like it to be.
As a Star Wars aficionado.
Yeah, right. Right. So, the downfall of it is when you get to a certain point, you've completed all of the story missions. The only thing left is attacking players, and upgrading your stuff takes a little while. So it requires patience, which is something that I don't have in abundance.
Well, the reason the Clash of Clans games in this game ties into, they do so well with in-app purchases. Because they do a kind of evil genius thing of, well, you know, to upgrade it takes a while, but I mean, you're playing against your friends, so you're gonna want to win. You can pay a little bit more and actually beat them. You're like, yeah, I'm gonna beat Zach. I'm gonna do this. Hold on. So it's the same kind of formula as that, right?
Right, and they also have a pretty cool feature in that if you and your friend are on the same side, so either Empire or Rebels, then you can
Empire
share
Rebels,
units.
Obina.
Okay, I got it.
You can share units. So you have a certain number of units you can share with your teammate. So say you have a max number of 10 units, you can actually, if you're on the Empire, you can give somebody an AT-AT, which is a giant rocking mechanical monster for you, Obina.
I love this.
Whatever.
We're going to have Star Wars night, Obina. We're going to watch all the last three, not the first
and one. You cannot fall asleep.
Yeah.
All right.
So, like, Obina, we're in the same team.
No, okay, thanks, we're going to have two. Everybody's going
to
come.
So we're going to have to revise our staff here.
Jeez. You love Star Wars. Okay. Cool. Play that. It's neat. Star Wars plus Unity is always good. Check it out. I'm going to check it out more. It's a game you got to really get into and invest a lot of time in. So we're all going to do that. But it's a big win for Unity, the fact that, you know, these huge it's the biggest franchise in the world and they're choosing Unity to make their mobile games. So like we said, we're excited to see the Unite statistic this year of what the percentage of mobile games are Unity. It was 50 or 60, right, Obina? Something like that last year.
And yeah, so yeah.
Hopefully it's going to be like 80 or whatever this year. So yeah. Cool. All right. So we've come to the end of the show. If you want to give
game.
Us... Yeah, good game. Good game. GG. If you want to reach us in the meantime, and please send us questions. We've already got a couple people reach out to us and that they want to contribute to the show. And please, 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 what we really love is questions. We'd love to start doing a mailbag questions. And those can have to do with anything from, you know, really nitty-gritty programming problems to actual game design problems to actual how do I, you know, inspire a group of people to make this game that I think is cool. So yeah. Any of those things are cool. So if you have any of that feedback, please send it to thedebuglog@gmail.com. We have a website. You can check that out. We're going to start posting more stuff in there. And once we've already talked about our tutorials that we're going to tease out a little more into the future. But the website is thedebuglog.com. We have a Facebook. We have a Twitter. We have all that stuff. It's all on the website. You can check that out there.
You definitely have to mention that our newsletter that we are going to use to keep track and reach out to you guys about, you know, new updates that we have as far as the course or to tease out anything else that comes out or if we give bonus episodes during the week. So anything like that, you should definitely sign up for our newsletter. You could do that just going to our website and, you know, there's a link on the sidebar that says sign up for a newsletter. So I would just sign up so we can get, you know, good information out to you, you know.
Yeah, and if you miss one of the episodes, we will send you an email at the end of the month with a summary of the episodes of the month and
posts and news and stuff.
Exactly.
And I want to mention a quick thing. I'm starting to get these guys on board with this. Ryan, we haven't talked to you about this at all, but there's we did the Extra Life thing. We talked to you on Saturday about it.
Oh, yeah.
We're just starting this. This is in November. It's pretty far ahead, but there's a charity called Extra Life, and it's an event they hold every year in November where they have people pledge money to different teams, various teams, and we might make a super big conglomerate team. And you would pledge money to us that gets donated to the Children's Miracle Network hospitals. But basically, we will stream us playing games for 24 hours. Yeah. So, you know, if you want to see us cuss and do a bunch of stuff and, like, you know, Obina falling asleep, I don't know. Whatever you want to do, we'll make them watch Star Wars while we play games. That might be a thing, too. So just start thinking about that. We don't have any definite information yet, but just start giving us some feedback. And you have some cool ideas or cool games you want us to play or any ideas for that, send us to thedevlog@gmail.com. So that's just, I'm throwing that out there. I'm not committing to anything yet. So
we have to play Mortal Kombat.
Well, yeah, cool. We'll do that.
There you go.
We'll do that too. A lot of people do, I've seen it before, and a lot of people do, like, well, they'll put up, if people donate this much, they get to pick the crappy game we play for an hour or something. They can make us play a really bad game, you know, for an hour or something. So there's a fun ideas, and I'd love to open up the community and just think about what we could do.
Yeah, that could be definitely fun.
Yeah. So, and it's for a good cause. So we'll start talking about that, and we'll start posting in the Facebook and all the various outlets about that. Cool. So, anyways, like we said, we thank you guys so much for the feedback and the response we've got. We've been overwhelmed by the immense response we've received from the Unity community, and it's only going to get better. We're going to have a lot of cool interviews coming up. We have the Unity evangelist that Eduardo met at the roadshow and an interview coming up, so that's going to be really cool. So stay tuned. Stick around. You won't be disappointed. Maybe. I don't know. You won't be disappointed.
No, they definitely won't be disappointed.
Well, if you don't like Unity or Game Dev, you might be disappointed. But if you're listening to the show this far, you're not going to be disappointed.
Why are you wandering in here then?
Exactly.
Yeah. I randomly listen to the end of every podcast. Exactly. Random podcast.
Yeah. That was awful.
That was just awful.
Yeah.
All they did was say goodbye.
I don't even like goats.
Don't give them ideas, Andrew. Don't give them ideas.
Well, that being said, until next time, my name's Andrew.
I'm Obina.
I'm Zach.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Eduardo.
That's a lot of people. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
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 Hey, I say it last. Bye.
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 That's my thing.
Amen.
Bye.
We need to start singing a little jingle at the end of every episode.
You know, I don't think we need to do that.
Just
a random jingle
would be nice. Like,
the world.
Or we start singing Boys to Men or something. I think that'd be good. Eduardo would be down with that. I think it'd be good.
Eduardo loves his stuff.
Boys to Men. Yeah.
Some handsome.
Boys to Men.
And this is why we have the explicit tag, Ryan.
Yeah. You earned us the explicit tag.
Oh, just for me.
Exactly.
I'm glad it could help.